Hey everybody, thanks for downloading You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is a selection, segments of what we recorded on Friday the 13th, 2015 at Black Cat as part of 8x8. We've only released sections of 8x8 sparingly in the past 5 years, 6 years, however long we've been doing the show. So I thought this was a good one, and it kind of holds up on its own. We did something a little bit different. There's a lot of talk about the WWE, which will inherently make lots of you not like this show, but listen for Andrew Bucket's story. It's fantastic. Jamel Johnson, who's been on the show multiple times, he's great. Champagne Fever, who was on a very recent live show, and an interview with Marissa Payne. So without further ado, here are segments of 8x8 recorded live at the Black Cat on Friday the 13th.
Hi, everyone. We did it. We left our houses. There's a justified marathon going on right now in my life. I don't know about yours. It's a fantastic show starring the fantastic Timothy Oliphant. He is an attractive man. Give it up for Timothy Oliphant, everybody. He's doing it. Don't boo him. He was fantastic in the hit film Go. It wasn't a hit, but it should have been a hit. Am I too loud? I'm going to be too loud, and I apologize if I'm too loud. We're going to do some social experiments before we begin. So everyone on this side of the room that has the potential to take a photograph with their cellular telephone, please do so. This side as well, please do so. If you are on the social network platform that is known as Instagram, please give it up for that. Please welcome to our South by Southwest preview show for the Instagram is sponsoring this. Please put on the Instagram, tag me, it's at YMTE, this side of the room. This guy's a real piece of shit, okay? This side of the room, what a fucking joke. This side of the room say, what a fucking joke, exclamation point. This guy is killing it, exclamation point. I can't believe how great this is. Something to that effect. So this side of the room, I'm a horrible, horrible human being. This side of the room, I ain't so bad. Here's why. My mom follows me and is confused by everything I post. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. It's all about perceptions, all about connections. Guys, I grew up loving the WWF. Give it up. Give it up. Now, contrary to popular belief, not all WWF fans and or wrestlers are mouth breathers, like my wife keeps telling me. Here's why. Now, the WWF is a fantastic organization filled with horrible people and some okay people. It's like everything else in the world. We're going to get to that later. Now, before I loved the WWF, I loved Mr. Rogers. He was my god. He sort of is. He's the one celebrity. Did somebody just go, aw? Thank you. I did that. He is potentially the greatest human being that ever lived. He's been dead for about 10 years, and there's no scandal yet. That says something. America's dad. Cosby. I was referencing Bill Cosby right now. Bad. Gandhi. Not good either. Because he let his wife die because he was refused to give her medicine. Not good. He wasn't the best. Mr. Rogers, the best. What was one of the things he did? The land of make-believe. The land of make-believe. You get to create your own reality. You get to make connections in a fantastical, different world that's sort of founded in reality. You know, it kind of makes sense. I got older. I stopped watching Mr. Rogers, and I started loving the music of Nirvana, all right? I quit all sports the day I bought Nirvana's In Utero CD. This is completely true. I was a women's studies major because I bought a Nirvana CD. I was a rape victim advocate because I listened to the song Polly enough times where it fucking affected me. Now, what were Nirvana known for besides swallowing shotgun shells? That was a thing he did. Sad thing. It's a sad thing. He did a lot of good, though. Did a lot of good with the bad. Sort of like one organization that I will reference later. Nonsense lyrics. Nirvana had a lot of nonsense lyrics. Really meant nothing, but there was a passion, there was feeling behind it, and that's what I got behind. I got a little bit older. I stopped listening to music as much. Got an English degree, and sure, why not? You could pay your bills as a 32-year-old man with an English degree. You got to live like a dirtbag for the first 8 after you graduate, but after that, it's medium. Don't go to college. Be a janitor. It's a way better decision. Anyways, love this author named Dashiell Hammett.
He was a crime noir novelist. He wrote this amazing book called The Thin Man. It got turned into a series of films, and it's the coolest couple ever. Nick and Nora, not with their infinite wisdom, but they're actually named after that because, anyways, that's a reference that you didn't need to know about Michael Cera and the girl that is happens to be broke on a sitcom. Now, I think I said shitcom. I didn't mean that. There's a lot of hard people working for that show. They're nice people. They shouldn't be skewered like that. I shouldn't take them to the mat. That's a reference. Anyways, love The Thin Man, right? You get to make up your own persona. You get to drink as much as you want and have a cool-ass wife and do whatever you fuck you want and watch Justified at home. I'm mixing what The Thin Man is in my life. Anyways, Mr. Rogers, Kurt Cobain, Dashiell Hammett's The Thin Man. That's just the ultimate warrior. If you combine the three of them, that's what that is. The Ultimate Warrior was the guy that replaced Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was an all-American piece of shit asshole whose kids currently are in jail for murdering people. He's a horrible dad. Ultimate Warrior, equally horrible dad, did way worse stuff than Hulk Hogan later in life. He became like this right-wing asshole and he legally changed his name to Warrior. This is a true thing. He got inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame a year ago and died 8 days later. So, horrible human being. But that guy shaped my life. That guy was the reason why I wanted to do anything. But I can't be a wrestler. This physique, if it was 85, I could be a wrestler. It's not 85 anymore, and I refuse to work out that much and or do that many steroids and or have a life on the road that is just fucking soulless and painful. I can't do that anymore. That doesn't mean I don't think about being a wrestler all the time. So Chris Kelly, he's our DJ tonight. He's going to play, sure, why not? He's going to play some songs for me. He's going to play a Hold Steady song. Play my first Hold Steady song. If I was a wrestler and I come out in a giant, let's say, of the Rising Center, start playing the song, this is what I want to hear. Will I come out? This is a song by the Hold Steady. It's cool. Now fade it out. My persona in this wrestling scenario is exactly what I'm wearing, but I take off the suit coat and I have a cardigan on and New Balance reasonable shoes because that's what people in Brooklyn wear. And then at the end of the match, which I win and or lose, sometimes there's a draw, play my outro song if I'm going in with the Hold Steady. Now this song is called Here Comes a Regular by The Replacements. Now this song is the saddest song I've ever heard while mopping a bar at 3 a.m. alone. I would cry when I'd hear this song. And that's what I want people in the arena to feel. Connections and pain. We got through the week, man. But what are we living for? I don't fucking know. At least whiskey's pretty cheap during happy hour. All right. So that no one, the WWE does not want that. TNA doesn't even want that. That's another wrestling company that's not nearly as popular as them. Anyways, so I was like, all right, what is something that the WWE still might want? All right. Play my hometown jam right now. Now, this is the Super Bowl Shuffle. This song is a song for champions and winners. Braggadocia, this shit came out before they won the Super Bowl. It could have went wrong. It didn't go wrong. They won the fucking Super Bowl. This is my jam. Some fucking asshole's doing Axlemania. No one gives a shit about Axlemania. Two people in the room know what I'm talking about. He's ripping off Hulk Hogan's Hulkamania. I'm going to rip off the Chicago Bears. Fade that out. Now, here's why this song is perfect. Perfect song. I could wear like classic 80s, like wristbands and shit. Everyone's going to want to buy that. And just like the 85 Bears, most wrestlers end up committing suicide. Sadly, this is the song that most represents my wrestling persona. You got it? All the girls show me love. Show me wine at the bar, got drank by the jug. In the VIP with the chicks and the drugs. Now that's a girl track song. Girl talk song.
Oh boy.
I used to work at the Huffington Post. What I did was something called aggregation. What that means is I took other people's words, changed like four adjectives, put in a block quote, took all the credit and got all the hits. Like girl talk. Creates nothing on his own. And my wrestling persona would be the aggregator. I'd be very, very popular with social media. All of my posts would start with, "Can you believe it?" And then there'd be like a recipe for guacamole. And then the next thing would be like, Fridays! And it'd be like a Zooey Deschanel gif. And as a wrestler, I would just steal other people's moves. And be like super rich and hang out with Bill Maher all the fucking time. So that would be my wrestling persona. I don't actually want to do that. I just want to think about the Ultimate Warrior and how I'm alive and he's dead. He's a horrible, horrible man. We're going to have so much fun tonight. We're going to make connections. We're going to try to convince my wife. She's not going to be convinced. But that the WWE, currently, formerly F, because they were sued, they're like, who cares about animals? The WWE is a horrible organization, but no more horrible than any other organization ever. They're pretty all right. That's the point of this show. The WWE is pretty all right, and we're going to see 8 amazing performers, a mixture of stand-ups and storytellers, and we're gonna and an amazing writer who is way too good to be here. No offense to the other 7 performers and a band. It's gonna be so. Coming to stage is now an old friend of mine. He performed stand-up for the first time ever on this show. He's not doing that tonight. So coming to the stage is my dear friend. Please put your hands together for Andrew Bucket, everybody. Andrew.
Hi, everybody. It's nice to get back to my roots tonight. I actually started as a storyteller and found my way into stand-up comedy. And I did my first stand-up set on 8x8 when it was at the Looking Glass Lounge. Hello. But I wanted to do this story for you tonight. It's kind of been on my mind weirdly again. So when I was 17, I decided I graduated high school at 17, and I decided I wasn't going to go to college right away. I thought there's more stuff I wanted to do, mainly drugs. And I went on tour with a band as their tour manager for about 4 years, and then as bands do, they broke up, and at the same time that the band broke up, I was dumped by a very beautiful Bolivian woman, and I decided I would go to college. Unfortunately, going to college for the first time after 4 years in the real world feels a little funny, and to me it was sort of like Billy Madison or something. And I just treated it like a complete joke. Not academically, I took my studies seriously, but all of just like being on campus. So I basically dressed like some version of Robin Williams in the 70s meets, I don't know, your favorite village person. And I would do these bits. I would do before I was even a comedian, I would do these bits on campus where I would be in costume. I would go to class in costume. I had this character called the guy from out of town who would wear phony army glasses and a derby and a big tweed coat, and he had a briefcase, and I would go to class and I'd go, is this my class? Which one's my desk? I don't know anything. I'm from out of town. And I would sit down at a desk, and invariably a student would ask me, well, what's in your briefcase? And I would open it up, and it would just be underpants. That's where I keep my briefs. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. 7 years later, I get the laughs I deserve for that joke. I founded a performance art collective on campus, and one of our greatest... That is true. I'm not making that up. One of our great pieces that we did, there was a big strip of AstroTurf. I went to University of Maryland, by the way. So the cool thing about University of Maryland is it was kind of like the 1950s, which means that everyone is so straight-laced and square that you basically need to do this to be a rebellious person. And so we did a performance art piece where... there was this big strip of AstroTurf with a volleyball net where a bunch of the dum-dums would go and tan themselves. And we went out there and held a mock funeral. And I was dressed like an undertaker. I mean, we did the pallbearers and everything. So that's basically... the other thing I would do is I bought a scooter, like a very high-end Razor scooter that it was like a skateboard deck, and it had a big handlebars. I put red, white, and blue streamers on it and put a big silver star on the front, and I would basically cruise around campus like this. That hit its peak when an article came out in the student newspaper. This is true. The headline was, "Is Scooter Guy Even a Student?" What I'm saying is I was a legend. So the other problem with this scenario, and boy wasn't life phony, and boy wasn't life fake, I was also really depressed and really lonely. I had like about two friends who were living equally as contrived in existence as I was. And I, you know, towards the end of my first year there, I was like, I can't just live in this bizarre phony world anymore. I need to like get out there and really live something, live a real life. And I was on Facebook, and I saw this ad that said, "Live in the college mansion, $400 a month in College Park." And I was like, whoa, let's check that out. And so I go and I scope out the house, and like, they weren't kidding, this is the college mansion. I mean, it is enormous, like the biggest house I've ever seen. And I come in through like a weird side door, and this guy meets me, and he's like, "Hey, are you hearing about the room?" And I was like, "Yes." And he's like, "Cool. All right, it's $400 a month. There's no deposit or anything. You got the cash?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Cool. You can move in tomorrow. I'll be out of here tomorrow. Just, you know, you'll be here alone for 2 weeks. Nobody's going to be back for 2 weeks. So you'll just be here by yourself." And I'm like, "All right." And then I'm in there the next day. I move all my stuff in. And he was right. I was alone for the next 2 weeks. And I start exploring the grounds, as it were. And this place is enormous. It is three levels. It's about 10 bedrooms, two kitchens, five or six bathrooms, a big wraparound deck that goes around three quarters of the house, a huge backyard. But as I start exploring the house and it starts coming into focus, I'm realizing that this is sort of like the ruin of a lost bro society. The lost colony of Bronoke. There is weed stuff everywhere. I mean, like, various sizes of bongs in different stages of functionality. I open up the silverware drawer, and there's a broken bowl where the spoons should be. Every manner of Sopranos poster that they ever made. Simpsons Sopranos, Godfather Meets Sopranos, all the Sopranos. And a beer pong game that seems like it was never played, just set up. I go out back, and the volleyball net is fallen over, and there are kegs that are sinking into the ground the way that ruins do. In the refrigerators and the freezers, there's all this meat. And in the freezers, the meat is like 2.5 years expired. And I'm wondering if anyone's actually going to return to this place. Like, if maybe this guy was, like, the last. He was, like, tricked me, and he was like, "Now you have to be the keeper." I'm Jack Nicholson now or something. And 2 weeks do indeed go by, and then one by one, the guys, they all do come back into play. And the first guy I meet is Al, who always seems to be flossing himself with one of those one-use flossing picks. And he's just like, "Yeah, utilities are due on the 17th. Every one of them has an Xbox, and it all seems to be this rotating hosting sort of situation of some kind of like email list that I'm not a part of. Like Halo in your room tonight kind of thing. But I'm trying to be like friendly. I mean, oh, by the way, they immediately recognize me as Scooter Guy. And they are, like, a little bit excited and a little bit nervous to be living with Scooter Guy. Like, they kind of want to brag to their girlfriends about it, but they also don't want me to do anything gay. which I handily did, because every Friday night I was like, "I would go out tonight, but I haven't got a stitch." I'm, like, putting on makeup, and I'm like, "Girlfriend, get in here." Like, so I tried playing Halo once, by the way. I'm trying to bond with these guys. I'm trying to make it work. But ultimately, I think our lifestyles were just too different. But I made a go of it. You know, I still decided to live in the college mansion. And I got the idea that Nate, who lived down the hall from me was selling weed, which I don't give a fuck. I mean, I do drugs like the next person, but... So I never thought twice about it. I mean, it seemed like he was some kind of a low-rent drug dealer anyway. And then there was this one night. So the girl that had dumped me, that had, kind of been one of the catalysts of this great depression that I was in, she called me one night when I was at home in the college mansion, and she said, "Hi, I'm coming back from Baltimore. I can't make it all the way. Like, I had too much to drink, and I'm, like, sleepy. I know it's weird, but can I just, like, crash with you?" And I was like, "Of course you can. Of course." And in my head, I'm just like, "This is great. She'll stay over, and then in the morning we can have breakfast. We could talk about us, you know? This could be our way into maybe reconciling our thing." And so she comes over, and then I let her in, and I'm just like, "I know you're sleepy. Like, here's some water. Let's just go to bed." We climb into bed, and you know, like, how you lay with that person that you date? We, like, got right back into the way. And then, I know, isn't that very sweet? I am. So we're in bed, and like we kind of like doze off into this very tranquil sort of sleep. And then at about 4:30 in the morning, there is a pounding at the door. And they're like, "This is the Maryland State Police. We have a warrant." And I look, I'm just like, "Oh, God." And I can't even, like, open my eyes yet, but, like, even through the blinds, I can see this sort of, like, evil disco of cop lights outside. And then I hear the big boom, which is when they put the battering ram to the door. And it all made sense in my head. Well, I was, like, still in bed with her, still spooning, and I'm just like, "They're just here for Nate. They're just going to go get Nate, and then they'll leave. Like, we're good. Like, we can just chill in bed. They're just going to get Nate." And then she kind of, like, leans up and looks at me. She's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "There's about to be men in my room. Just chill. Just don't move too suddenly." The next thing you know, two dudes, there's, like, a tactical stomp coming down my hallway. Two dudes in full Egypt Revolution riot gear with straight-up assault rifles with flashlights at the end of them kicking my bedroom door. Me and my not-girlfriend jump out of bed in our underoos with our hands in the air, and they're, like, flipping the light switch, and they're like, "Where's the light switch?" And I'm like, "That one doesn't work. I have a lamp." And they're like, "Well, turn on the lamp." I'm like, "I'm going to go turn on the lamp." And I hit the switch on my thrift store lamp, and it illuminates the room, which is when the officers see how I've decorated, which is by tacking ladies' dresses all over the walls. Not just hanging up, they're in tableau. And I'm like, "Sorry about the mess, officers," and they're like, "It's okay, we've seen worse." Which is when they take us upstairs and they sit us all on two couches. One person is already on, they sit us, most of us, on one couch, and there's one person on the opposing couch, which is apparently the going to jail couch. And one by one, they cart my bro-y sweetheart roommates off to the going to jail couch. And anybody that talks out of turn is going to jail couch, no matter what. Finally, at the end of one by one, everyone I live with going to the going to jail couch, it's just me and my not girlfriend. And we hear one, the main cop, the main asshole cop, is like, "Is everybody going to jail?" And from the darkness, a woman's voice goes, "We found drugs in every room, except one." And that was my room. But I will tell you something. Having an automatic assault rifle pointed in your face during an FBI DEA raid, because dumbass Nate got busted as a college drug dealer, it will reset your priorities and your feelings in your life and can cure depression. So Don't worry about Zoloft. Just get a gun pointed at you. Thank you. I'm Andrew Bucket.
That was really, really good. Damn, Bucket, that was amazing. Follow him on Twitter? Something? I don't know. God, fuck, that was great. Andrew Bucket, fuck. Okay, we're going to do something we've never done before, and we're going to do an interview segment of 8x8. Coming to stage is a person that's never done this show before, and I'm incredibly happy she's here. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Marissa Payne, everybody. I'm not usually up here when other performers are up here. Say hello to people.
I'm not a performer, so that's why you're up here.
That's perfectly fine.
I'm here to give you information.
Yes. For the people in the audience, tell them your job.
I'm a writer.
You're a writer. Who do you write for?
I write for the Washington Post.
She writes for the Washington Post, one of the three most important papers in this country, if not the world. What do you write for the Washington Post?
I write about sports.
Sports!
And sports entertainment.
And sports entertainment. What constitutes sports entertainment?
I believe we're going to talk about the WWE.
The WWE! The Washington Post has a paid writer for the WWE. This shit is legit. Marissa, you've been on the show before, is that correct?
No.
Yes, you have. Not this show, the
not
talk
show. Your other
You're
show,
on the talk show.
But we talked about weddings.
We talked about weddings? This is a woman? Let me see. She's still married? She's a writer?
There he is.
So you're saying someone, I'm assuming you have a college education.
Yes, barely.
Someone with a college education that gets paid a salary by the Washington Post is a fan of the WWE. Is that correct?
That is true.
Would you consider yourself a mouth breather?
At night, yes.
Fair enough. When you are conscious, do you use both your nose and your mouth to breathe?
Both.
Fantastic.
Both.
So far, so good. Do you actually like the WWE and or wrestling in general?
I love it.
Why?
It's theater. It's live theater every
single week.
It's called
live theater.
Brow culture.
It's cultural. That means nothing. Everything is cultural. Sorry. Burritos are cultural. It doesn't mean a fucking thing. Anyways, what actually got you interested in the WWE?
Macho Man's death.
What? Okay, let's start there. Macho Man Randy Savage was a very famous wrestler from the early 80s. You might know him as a man that snapped into a meat product. He also had a counterpart named Miss Elizabeth. Do you know about Miss Elizabeth?
Yes. Me and my husband actually dressed up for Halloween at your BYT Halloween party.
That's a horrible idea. Not coming to the parties. Parties are fucking awesome.
No. The most horrible thing that happened, we were so much older than everyone else that was there that they mistook my husband, who was dressed clearly as Macho Man. The back of the outfit, by the way, it was a bespoke custom Macho Man outfit, and I'm calling you out. He paid some old Polish lady, $300 to sew it for him.
Do you realize the Macho Man didn't pay that much? That's like a $13 outfit.
True.
Not even the outfit, the whole outfit.
No, but here's the kicker. Some 21-year-old, 19-year-old, I don't even know who's in there, goes, are you supposed to be a Tron space cowboy or something? We left shortly after.
Thanks for making fun of my employer. Anyways,
no problem.
So here's the thing about that a lot of people don't know. Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth were actually married. Mm-hmm. And by the time Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth got married in the theater in the WWF, they were no longer together. And then she ended up dying with another wrestler. Yeah, this shit is theater. This shit is Shakespeare. I am not joking. It's a horribly sad thing. I don't recommend any of you wrestle. Okay, let's get to not sad death stuff.
Okay.
Who is one of your current favorite wrestlers?
I really like this guy named Rusev. He's a Bulgarian pretending to be a Russian right now.
Which is fantastic theater. Every time Rusev wrestles, his current main opponent is America's hero that no one actually likes, John Cena. Mm-hmm. You might know him as the actual funny part in an upcoming Amy Schumer, Judd Apatow joint. Seriously.
Really?
He's playing the role of Dolph Ziggler because Dolph Ziggler and Amy Schumer used to date. I've lost all of you. Let's get you back. Okay. So Rusev
He's also lost me.
Rusev is a fantastic wrestler. He wrestles without boots.
Yes, barefoot.
And he's got a companion with him. Is that correct?
Yes, Lana, the Ravishing Russian.
Is she actually Russian or is she from Florida?
No, actually, she is. I think she's from Florida.
That's
but I think she. I've read that she comes from a military family and she lived a stint in Lithuania and actually does speak Russian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you got two people not from Russia representing an entire country that's inevitably going to be at war with us. This is fantastic!
It's great.
Now, do you believe that wrestling is sexist? Wife!
Yes.
Damn it, you said yes. Damn it.
Yes!
Why is it sexist?
Okay, first, you've gotten... Do you really want to get started on this?
Yes.
Okay, so there is the Women's League. Unfortunately, they're titled... Exactly. Why are they not called the Women's League? You title them Divas, you give them 30-second matches, and you just dress them up so their parts are in various exposures.
To be fair, how is that any different than John Cena or Daniel Bryan, who happen to be married to the two most famous Divas?
Match length. They get no time.
I agree with you completely on that, mm-hmm. But in terms of objectification of his gender, I don't see that because it's pretty much equal. We're objectifying both genders.
At the same time, you don't see the men prance around in the exact same way, and the announcers, they don't... First of all, okay, I'm going to expose my bias now, even though I'm not supposed to, but Jerry Lawler is a creepy old man, and he says creepy old man things just about the ladies.
Agreed.
He has never said anything creepy about Rusev, yet listen to the way he talks about Lana.
Fair. Damn it, I didn't want to concede that point, but you're 100% right. Anyways... people in the room, for this crowd, for the Black Cat audience, there is a wrestler I think you'll hands down enjoy who's no longer with the company. His name is CM Punk, mm-hmm. Okay? You might know CM Punk. CM Punk is from Chicago. Mm-hmm. The song that she came up to is Living Colors, Cult of Personality. That's his song.
That's true.
Even if you don't like wrestling, you'll love the backstory behind it. He loves punk rock and or roll, and he is going to fight in the UFC.
Yes, that is actually very controversial.
What are your thoughts on the UFC?
I'm getting really into the UFC, actually, lately.
Is it only because of Punk?
No, that's not true. It's because of Ronda Rousey.
Okay.
She is a badass, most exciting athlete around, hands down. Out of any athlete in the world right now, I think she's number one.
Wait, 14 seconds? What? Sorry. He doesn't have a microphone. I apologize for throwing to him. That was an asshole move on my part. We both came off as assholes anyways. I see the sound guy really not enjoying this. Let's talk about something in the WWE that's actually exciting. Coming up at the end of the month is WrestleMania.
Yes.
Okay. It's WrestleMania 31, 32?
I think 31.
You're a journalist that gets paid to cover this. You're the only one that gets paid in the entire world from the Washington Post to cover this. You should know the number. Anyways... WrestleMania 30-something is going to be interesting because the person that currently has the title is named Brock Lesnar. Now, Brock Lesnar is one of the dumbest human beings in the world.
Not true.
Totally true. But Brock Lesnar has one of the most fantastic people to ever hold a microphone and do a promo, and his name is Paul.
Paul Heyman. That is 100% true.
What?
Paul, I just got finished watching Paul Heyman's documentary that's showing on WWE Network right now.
Do you subscribe to the network? The WWE?
Of course I subscribe to the network.
Do you write that off for work?
I should. I don't, but I should. That's actually a good idea. I'm going to put that on my to-do list.
Now, have you been to a match?
Like,
have you been to Raw? Have you been to SmackDown?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Every time they come through.
So you were there last week?
Oh, no, I didn't. I don't like going to SmackDown. Sorry.
Sorry. Okay. What would you compare the WWE to in terms of, like, television or film or music? So people that I love and respect... Don't look down upon me.
Okay, here's the thing. You can't compare the WWE to really anything.
That's not helpful.
It is helpful. It is helpful because it's such a unique product. I mean, I would compare it to live theater, to be honest. I would compare it to going, like you said, Shakespeare. I don't know if I would compare it to Shakespeare necessarily, although sometimes the wrestlers speak Roman Reigns and you're like, what are you saying? It doesn't make any sense. So maybe sometimes it is like Shakespeare, but it's like a live action physical theater that exists nowhere else.
Do you and your husband watch it together?
Yes.
Do you have different favorite wrestlers?
Slightly different, but not totally different.
So
we usually
agree. Who do you like in the Divas? I know it's not the best.
AJ.
You like AJ? I love AJ.
I like AJ.
In real life, married to CM Punk, completely lost you, don't give a shit. Paige, what are your thoughts on Paige?
I think Paige is okay. I think they're making her look stupid, though.
Paige is the best!
No, she was the best in... Okay, so here's the one else thing you need to know about WWE, and this is why you... I'm not doing a plug for WWE Network, but NXT is their developmental league, and that's where you'll see really good female wrestling.
But Paige is from the UK or Ireland, one of the two?
Yeah, she's from Great Britain.
She's from Great Britain, and she didn't realize you're not supposed to actually hit people when she first started. So she was just kicking the shit out of people. That's amazing! I feel like we've won no one over, but I just had a fantastic 8 minutes.
I know, I feel like it's
minutes.
A very dead crowd right now, but that's cool.
You can't hurt me. I like the Warrior, okay? Like, do you know the Ultimate Warrior?
Do I know him personally? Not anymore.
Did you ever?
No, I wish I did.
Did you wish you did? Really?
100%.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
why do you like horrible people?
If you're telling me if he came up to you right now and was like, let's go to Starbucks and grab a coffee, you'd be like, no.
Well, I'd say, well, like, how much money could you donate to GLAAD right now to fix all of your ills for saying really homophobic, horrible, right-wing bullshit, and then we could have a latte? Yeah, I would say that. Fuck Ultimate Warrior. I'm glad he's dead.
Ooh.
Oh, what a controversial statement. The guy that put steroids in his body and destroyed people, and that's a horrible thing. Anyways, I thank you so much for coming. This is a fantastic night. I love all of you individually and together as a unit. Should people watch WrestleMania?
Yes.
How should they watch it?
Actually, we're going to have a WrestleMania watch party, as we do. Why don't you and your wife come?
She won't come to anything wrestling-related whatsoever. Well, I had ringside seats where we could literally touch the bell. She's like, I'm not going to that.
No, you got to give it a try. You got to give it a try. It's like bungee jumping. Give it a try. Maybe you'll like
it. No, it's not like bungee jumping. Because you're going to be safe, and you can watch it from your living room, and then you can watch Justified. It's not that different. Anyways. She's a fantastic woman, and you should read her stuff. It's called like the Quick Fix, something like that. It's
the early lead. The early lead.
That was
not,
nothing
not
like
at all.
And it's not just the WWE. It's a lot of other sports.
It's every sport you can think of.
Oh, final question, and then we'll get going because this is now a 15-minute interview. If you have a child, no pressure whatsoever. Would you let your child wrestle, and/or would you let your child play football?
No.
To both?
Yeah.
Well, put your hands together for the hypocrite, Marissa Payne. That was fantastic. She was nervous. She's a fucking awesome woman. Read her stuff on the post, honestly. You ready to get music for Jamel? All right. Final comic, then Champagne Fever is going to play. Champagne Fever is fantastic. If you've never seen them, there are lights. They have a fantastic light show. The last time this guy performed at the Black Hat for an 8x8, it closed out Benson Ball because it was voted the best of the fest. So, ladies and gentlemen, coming to stage is a person I'm lucky enough to call a friend. Please put your hands together for Jamel Johnson, everybody. Oh, hell yeah!
How's everybody doing tonight? Did you guys enjoy your pro wrestling symposium? That felt like a symposium. Like, motherfuckers were listening intently. And they're like, I just don't know when to laugh, you know what I'm saying? I got one thing to say about wrestling. I went to one show. And it was at the fucking USA Arena, Yokozuna versus Undertaker, the coffin match. And if you don't know what wrestling is, that statement is hilarious on its own. You don't need to know. A man named Yokozuna fought another man named The Undertaker and threw his fat ass in a coffin. It was great. All right, let's get into it. Let's have some intensity. Yeah. You guys fuck with the circus? Nobody. I was expecting people to like throw chairs. It's like, yeah. I got asked to do a show, but the catch was all the jokes had to be about the circus. And I told the guy straight up, I was like, I want to do your show, but nah. You know what I mean? I don't have that much circus material, mainly because the circus sucks. And the guy is like, oh, man, that's okay. It doesn't matter. Just come do the show anyway. And then he made it racist. He was like, hey, tell them you're there to talk about the black people circus, also known as life. This is a quote from my Facebook messages. And it confused me because, like, what the fuck does that mean? Also, we already have a black circus, Universal Circus. Anybody familiar? One host. Little known fact about the Universal Circus. It's the only black thing that's equally as lame as the white version of that thing. And that's science, people. Can't see anybody. Let's talk about intercourse, you know. I know that's what you guys have been waiting on, you know. When are they going to talk about fucking? You know what I mean? I enjoy sex a bunch. I just wish I didn't have to keep having it. I have to now, or I'll go fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Think about everybody you know in society that's not having sex for sure. Priests, crazy. Ghosts, craziest niggas on the planet. Terrorist. That's what terrorism is. That's the brain convincing itself that it's all right, that it hasn't gotten its dick sucked in 10 years. You know what I mean? That's how it starts. When's the last time you got some head, sir? Don't answer out loud. I don't want to know for real. Just think about the number. Add 5 years to that number, and I assure you, you'll be Googling how to buy rockets in no time. And you're a great guy, you know what I'm saying? That's just off the sheer amount of free time you'll have, you know? Sex, man, you know it's killing us. But it also makes the people. You know what I'm saying? This Tinder shit is bananas! Tinder is not supposed to be happening. It's not supposed to be that easy. It's not supposed to be just as easy to find somebody that will fuck you as it is to play a goddamn candy puzzle. You know what I'm saying? Those two things aren't supposed to be the same. But it is pretty tight, though. You know, just the concept. You know what I'm saying? I'm not on Tinder, but man, the algorithms are astounding. You know what I'm saying? You can get on a computer, and it doesn't even have to be. You can get on a computer at the fucking library, and you can find out a ridiculous percentage of the people in the world that will fuck you. You know what I'm saying? You could do that now. Her grandparents couldn't do that shit, and her grandparents still laying this fucking, oh, hey, you only got to be with one person. Like, if they had Tinder in the 40s, our grandparents would have been hoes too. That's what I'm getting at. I thought grandparent hoes would get a bigger laugh, honestly. And, guys just got that. Are your grandparents that slutty? Is that why it hurt you guys? Is that it hurt you guys? Guys got slutty grandparents. I don't have any slutty grandparents material, but I am making a mental note. The Wu-Tang's blaring. It's throwing me off. I don't know if anybody can hear that. If you guys haven't figured out that I smoked a bunch of weed today, by now, you know what I mean? Pay better attention. You guys paid money to come here. You know what I mean? Do your job as audience members. Okay, I was trying to get into a thing. All right, you know, the disconnect between men and women these days, and I don't know where it comes from. You know what I'm saying? I assume the lady in the back does. You guys back there talking about culottes or something? Now, I don't know. And I don't understand why comics always get, like, sensitive and offended when people are talking in the back. Like, fucking talk, you know what I'm saying? Like, do your thing, you know what I mean? Just like, you know, do less of that thing, you know what I mean? Now, here's the thing about comedy, you know, it's an art form, and it's fucked up that you have to call it an art form. It's ridiculous that it's art. Get to just tell people what your dick looks like, and that's art now? It's not enough, you know what I'm saying? But it is an art, you feel me? It's the only one where people will tell you exactly how bad you are right to your fucking face with no hesitation. You know what I mean? It doesn't happen. You see a bad music show. When's the last time you saw somebody boo at a music show? You know what I'm saying? Nobody boos a fucking middle school production of Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? They don't fucking... None of those kids know how to act. Boo! You the worst carrot I ever seen, bitch! Boo! That just feels bad. It doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? I was trying to make some sort of grand point, but I forgot what it was. Oh, yeah. Doing it with people. Here's the thing about the doing it, okay? It clouds people's judgment. You know what I'm saying? And when you call somebody your friend, you went on 2 internet dates with them, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Just say, hey, I don't want to date you no more. Don't be like, let's just be friends. Because come on, what even makes you think you're qualified enough to be my friend? You know what I mean? Like, I don't watch Bones. You know what I mean? Like, fucking. And then you meet somebody and they don't want to fuck you. You know, because that's a selfish thing to think, putting your genitals in front of meeting another human being. You know what I'm saying? And then you meet a girl and she doesn't want to fuck you and she doesn't watch Bones neither, you know what I'm saying? So you give it a shot, but you know what happens then? All your conversations kind of get funneled into like all the sex problems that she's having and like you're not, you know what I mean? There's some human beings in here that know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean? And it's the only place in society where that's acceptable. You know what I mean? You can't go up to homeless people and talk about sandwiches you had. That would be outrageous. Oh, homeless man, I had this sandwich the other night. They like toasted it. It might have been a panini or something. They put some sauce on it. I don't know what it was. No, you can't have none of my sandwich. We friends. And you're homeless. You're tap dancing out on the streets. And you save up your last little bit of change. You hit the 7-Eleven and get a Lunchable. You know what I'm saying? Now your friend is all in your face telling you how this Lunchable's all bad for you. What are you doing with that? That's gross. Disgusting. Oh, it's so processed. Oh, it's got all them GMOs in it. You good enough for a sandwich? You good enough to have a sandwich? I've been trying to eat your sandwich for 3 calendar years now. I made mixtapes. I'm just pretending to be sad. I have a girlfriend. She's in the back and she loves me. You damn right! And that's my time.
Josh Johnson, everybody!
Champagne Fever is going to play.
This band is fantastic.
What's up? We're Champagne Fever.
should go when you're so drunk. See, but lately that's the way it goes whenever I come back. So I just admit, oh man, I had to run if it was that bad. Cocaine with your Cheerios, still in last night's pantyhose. And it's been worse, baby, I suppose. But this time I gotta go. You quit your job 4 days ago, and rent's been due 4 days or no. Well, it gets better, let it go. Pretty sure we'll be fine on our own. It's just a birthday girl, who gives a fuck, but you were all fired up. Some of you and your makeup crying on the bus, that shit is not fun. Seems like lately that's the way it goes whenever I come back. So I just bet, oh man, I had to run, yeah, it was that bad. Cocaine with your Cheerios, still in last night's pantyhose. And it's been worse, baby, I suppose. But this time I gotta go. You quit your job 4 days ago, and rent's been due 4 days ago. Well, it gets better, just let it go. Pretty sure we'll be fine on our own. Well, I'm not saying I was right, but you've been acting heartless, heartless. 6 months, now you're someone else. So to me, I'm so polite. Girl, don't treat me like this. 6 months, now you found yourself. And I've been trying to take your pulse, but you treat me like a ghost. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Cocaine with your Cheerios, still in last night's pantyhose. And it's been worse, baby, I suppose. But this time I gotta go. You quit your job 4 days ago, and rent's been due 4 days ago. Well, it gets better if you let it go. Pretty sure we'll be fine on our own. We'll be fine on our own.
Thank you.